Keeping a catch-up toasty on this wet and cold Tuesday in Esperance. Today, we spoke about the Esperance budget. It came out as a surplus, which is good news. I'll let you know how from the Deputy President of the Esperance Shire. We also spoke about Harry Potter books being burnt, the history or future of wool coming up and the challenges that industry has to face, as well as much, much more. Stick around to the catch-up, some funny stuff in between. Bye-bye.
Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast.
Sean for breakfast, Esperance is 7:47, Triple M, and it's that time of the week. I have the lovely Tammy Maloney in studio. She's wearing the Chamber of CEO hat today because Kylie isn't with us for another week. Tammy, how are you going?
I'm very well, Sean. How are you?
Well, now look, this is the busiest week. I can hear you breathing deeply because this is the busy week before the Over the Horizon event, which is the premier event by the Chamber of Commerce. How's it going? Give us the latest update.
Well, that's it. The Chamber is really pleased to be able to present this event every year. But we do have three ministers speaking this time. So we have Paul Papalia speaking, Minister for Tourism. We have Darren West speaking, and we also have Simone McGurk speaking, who is Minister for Community Services and so forth.
Especially with the tourism industry, which is an uprising industry here. And if you're anything to do with hospitality or if you want to get into it, then I think it'd be very interesting to hear what Mr. Papalia has to say.
Yeah, that's right. And just to know what's going on in the region from a broader picture level, it's really, really good to be able to help you with your own strategic planning within your business if you know what is actually going to be occurring and what is happening around the region as well.
100%. Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. So we've got those three great speakers. Yep. Definitely get your ticket.
Yeah. Where do you get your ticket from? Is it trybooking.com?
Trybooking.com. Yes. Just type in Over the Horizon 2019 at Trybooking and you'll be good to go.
And just when you thought that you were done and dusted, you thought that was your last event for the next little while, then Monday is a breakfast for you to organise.
That's it. We've got a budget breakfast happening. And the breakfast includes a summary of the new budget as well as some question and answer time as well. Even if you aren't a Liberal voter, it is a really great opportunity.
Well, the budget gets handed down regardless.
Regardless of what party, that's
you fall under, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a really great opportunity for you to come and hear a different perspective.
Yeah. And you might not be into politics that much, but when it comes to federal budgets, especially with a federal election 7 or 8 weeks away, we're waiting for that announcement for that date.
That's right.
It's going to be very exciting. There's going to be a bit of cash splashed around
Australia. Hopefully. Well, that's it. So that's on Monday, the 8th of April, and the time is 7:45 to 9 a.m., so only a short little window, and then you can zip off to work afterwards.
What are we talking here? Bacon and eggs, a bit of sausages or something?
No, we're talking juice, muffins, hopefully something hot and savoury and some fruit.
Yeah, beautiful. So, doesn't get much better than that. Been speaking to Tammy Maloney. She is the acting Chamber of Commerce CEO. Thanks for joining me today, Tammy.
Pleasure. Thank you, Sean. Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast.
Sean for breakfast, Esperance is 7:47 Triple M, and season 2 of Agriminers is well and truly out. Jump into podcast1.com.au to have a look at that, covering all the big topics to do with the agriculture industry. And one such topic is talking about wool and the future, the direction of the wool industry. To talk to me about it, I have Chris Russell. He's the host of that great podcast. Chris, how are you?
I'm great, Sean. How are you going?
I'm great. So how many wool garments do you own, which is 100% Australian wool?
Well, all of my coats and a lot of my trousers, it impersonates exactly what I'm about. You know, it's agriculture at its finest. So it'd be my first preference every time when I make clothing for the things that you do buy in wool.
Yes, yes. So obviously you're a supporter, but and I guess in a weird way an investor into this industry. But what is the future of the industry? Where are they looking at for the next sort of 10, 15 years or so?
Well, that's exactly why I did this interview with Stuart McCulloch, who is the CEO of Australian Wool Innovation. Now, they receive, it's just been taken from 2% down to 1.5% of the wool check of every Australian farmer who grows wool in Australia. And they spend that money 50% on marketing and 50% on research. So the interesting thing is that our current pricing is sitting around about $20 a kilo on the Eastern Market Indicator, far more over in the West. Mm. They've got a lot of challenges. The first one is, of course, the animal welfare issues which has plagued them, particularly mulesing and the work that's done in that. The second one, of course, is exactly the fact of man-made fibres sort of encroaching on traditional wool markets. And the third one, I think, is the increasing dominance of China as our business. And if we suddenly fell out with China over a political issue, it doesn't even have to be anything to do with wool. 70% of our wool currently goes to that one market. And in one sense, that's great because when the Chinese army order a new uniform, the wool price goes up 20 cents because of the amount of wool it needs. In the other sense, if they decide not to order a new uniform, it goes down even more than that because of lost confidence in the market. So they're all the areas that I really talk about with Stuart. And I must say it's a very penetrating sort of discussion that we have to find out exactly where we're going.
I've been speaking to Chris Russell, the podcast host of AgriMiners. You can get that from podcast1.com.au. Chris, stick around. What I want to ask you next is you talked about the future, the challenges that the wool industry face right now. There's also a shortage of shearers around Australia. I want to talk about how robotic shearing could help. You'll hear that after Creedence Clearwater Revival on Triple M.
Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
One of the most inoffensive bands I've ever come across. That's Creedence Clearwater Revival and Sean for Breakfast. Esperance is 7:47 Triple M. We're approaching 8:15 and I'm speaking to Chris Russell, the podcast host of AgriMiners. We're talking about the future and challenges of the wool industry. Now, I mentioned before, right now there is a shortage of shearers Australian-wide. But Chris, there is some technology which is trying to alleviate this problem.
Well, there's been a couple of different ways people have looked at, but none of them so far have really taken off. One of them was so-called chemical shearing or bioclip, and this is where you feed something in the feed which causes a break in the wool, and you then have to put a net coat over the sheep to hold the wool in while the new wool grows out through the pores and gives some coverage on the animal, and then you more or less harvest the wool in the net off the back of the sheep. Yeah, right. But that's been plagued with issues of what do you do the nets, how do you get the nets on and off, and just the practicalities of doing that has been a problem. And in fact, AWI have really dropped all future research in that particular area. Yeah. Where they are putting a lot of money is into robotic shearing, where you can actually run a sheep through a machine which senses where the skin is and where the animal, how the animal is put together, so that you can take it off without needing a shearer. And the problem with that is a lot of it revolves around that we've bred all these wrinkles into the sheep for years, and every sheep is so different. How do you actually do what a shearer does when he bends that sheep around the leg for the long blows and is actually able to get a nice smooth cut? How do you do that with a robot, and the next sheep may be plain-bodied and won't need that sort of work? So there's a lot of money being spent in robotic shearing at the moment, and I think that's probably more likely to be the future way of supplementing our hand shearers than biochemical shearing.
It must be so difficult because shearers do have quite a close relationship with the animal. They can sort of sense when the animal is calm or when they're distressed. I mean, a robot surely can't have that sort of sensitivity, I don't think.
No, I think that's right, but probably like dairy cows who get used to being milked by a machine, you know, they'll get used to being hung up by their feet or put into a V-draped conveyor or whatever particular method the robotic shearer will have. But, you know, I think that part of it is probably more easily solved than how you actually do this in a way that, A, you don't get any injury to the animal, and B, yes, you don't leave too much of the wool on the animal. I mean, a good shearer can shear, you know, I think a gun shearer is about 400 sheep a day, and those sheep will be clean as a whistle. So at the end of the day, I think currently the shearers are well ahead in the stakes of making sure you get your sheep shorn and get the maximum amount of wool off that animal. It's just having enough shearers to do it.
You've been listening to Chris Russell. He is the podcast host of AgriMiners from podcast1.com.au. Fascinating chat. I look forward to listening to the podcast. Thank you, Chris.
No worries, Sean.
Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
That's one from Cat Stevens' 10th studio album. That's called Is It So? And the song's called Remember the Days of the Old School Yard. A bit of nostalgia for your Tuesday morning. We're approaching 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. And we pay some of the highest rates, council rates, in the land. And what does that money give us? Well, it goes into the Shire budget and they spend it as they see fit, and they have to do other spendings as well, like the fires that just went through town a couple months ago. They had to pay for that. Now, there is some good news about the Shire budget. This is the Deputy Shire President Natalie Bowman speaking earlier.
We, as a council, have a massive budget. We're always aiming to have a break-even budget or a small surplus. So we're not looking to generate more funds than we require each year. Obviously, we have incidents that we can't necessarily plan for, and Burraminia Fire and those complex fires being one of those that do incur additional costs to the Shire that we weren't expecting. We've got to manage all of that within our budget, and are really pleased to be able to say that we've recovered all of those and have still managed to come back to a small surplus position from what we originally had was a deficit of $47,000, I believe, which I feel is really good news.
Deputy Shire President Natalie Bowman there, turning around a $47,000 deficit into the black, a surplus for the Shire budget. It's been a pretty good week for the Shire, and a good couple of weeks actually. The announcement of the indoor basketball stadium. We've also got good news about our cycle tracks, including an extension from Newtown Oval all the way to the Turf Club. Tomorrow morning, there is a presentation that will be talking about the Esperance Community Perception Survey, which was released a few months ago. It was basically trying to figure out why our community is fractured. That is the Shire's words, not mine. I'll bring you the results from that survey later in the week as they come to light. This is NXX. Up next, the Polish group that have burnt Harry Potter books. Can't believe it. You'll hear it in a little bit. Triple M.
Across Esperance. Sean for breakfast.
That's in excess on Sean for breakfast. Esperance is 7:47. Triple M. It is 14 minutes past 8 on this grey Tuesday. The song's called Devil Inside, and there's some Polish Catholic priests that strongly believe that the devil is inside J.K. Rowling's famous Harry Potter series. There's been a series of Facebook posts which have shown these priests burning the Harry Potter books. They say that they're not the word of Christ, and they only obey the word of the Bible. Therefore, they need to burn the enemies of God, which includes Harry Potter and his friends Ron Weasley and Hermione Granger. That's not all that they burnt either. It wasn't just focused at Harry Potter. No, they also burnt the Twilight vampire-themed fantasy romance series. You know, that one that was turned into a TV show as well. Originally, it was a book series. They also burned Hello Kitty, a paraphernalia, and a Hindu religious figurine. They said anything to do with the devil or the occult needed to be burned and cleansed from Poland. Very extreme, and the first thing I thought was, surely this has to be an April Fool's prank. Surely no one's that extreme and can attack Harry Potter in such a way. And no April Fool's joke, just extremely devout Christians. Coming up for you, we'll brighten the mood. No more sacrilege here on the show. We've got Skyhooks coming up, as well as the Beach Boys. They're taking you to California this Tuesday morning on Triple M.
Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
Spooky stuff. That's Skyhooks on Sean for breakfast. Esperance is 7:47 Triple M. And sometimes a morsel of news comes across your desk which is too good, too funny to be true. Right now, Ukraine is going through an election. Volodymyr Zelensky is a comedian whose character on television has accidentally propelled him towards the Ukrainian presidency. He's currently won, or his character, I suppose, has won around 30% of the vote in real presidential elections yesterday, according to exit polls. With around two-thirds of the ballots counted, the actual results suggest a similar outcome. Petro Poroshenko, the incumbent, trails far behind with 16%. Mr. Zelensky looks likely to win a second-round runoff on April 21st, too. The result is a resounding slap in the face to the entire Ukrainian political class. So this is an actor who's playing a political character, and that political character has been voted in. It's comedy, it's humour.
I don't know. I still think I prefer him to Trump, though. I'm pretty sure. We're getting close to 8:30 on the other side. I want to talk about the federal budget. Belinda Cameron has a little tease about that next as well, and your latest news, sport and weather on Triple M.
Across Esperance, Sean for breakfast.
The small faces on Sean for breakfast. Esperance is 7:47 Triple M. We've just ticked past 20 minutes to 9, and for the last few weeks or so, I've been doing a series of fairly crap and pathetic ads. Without further ado, here's another one. Hello. My name is Dimitri. For years, I've been sick of females having all the fun and men being discriminated against. Are you big, strong, muscular-legged man and you want to show off your legs? Now you can buy my male heels. Finally, we can do what we want. Leather, silk, strapped zippers. They make your leg look beautiful. Yes. Beautiful calves. The Persians, the Romans, the Greeks, all great civilizations, their men wore heels. You hear about Alexander? He was pretty great. He looked great in heels. That's the reference. Buy my heels online and only online. Do it today. I'm Dimitri. Do as I say. Dimitri there selling his male heels. Bit of context for that one. Last Friday, the Friday Fun Fact Fanatic, Danny, she revealed that men back in the day used to wear heels. The elite males of the society used to rock around with heels because it was a show of status that you actually had shoes, and heels made you look taller and more powerful. It was only in the last couple hundred years or so that sneakers or even flat shoes became popular. So there you go. On the way, my favourite Swedish palindrome singing a palindronic song as well. You hear it next on Triple M.
Sean for breakfast catch up on Triple M.
Bye-bye, have a good time.
Listen to Sean for breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.